was. I'm going to say those claps were for the spirit that was moving, that heard something in your reading, Tracy. Thank you for reading our gospel lesson today. Have compassion for everyone you meet, even if they don't want it. What seems like bad manners or cynicism is always a sign of things no eyes have seen or ears have heard. You don't know what wars are going on down where the spirit meets the bone. But ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. It doesn't get easier, but you get stronger. It doesn't get easier, but you get stronger. These words were on a banner above this weight room of a gym I used to go to. And while people were exercising, it read, "It doesn't get easier, but you get stronger." For those who have ever conditioned for a race or an event, or even if your doctor has prescribed you physical therapy, you know that it is not easy work, and that to improve, you must push yourselves beyond where you thought you could go. This is how we build muscle. This is how we regain our strength. If you stop when things are uncomfortable or you are tired, you will not see the transformation you need. And I imagine Ohio State's coaches push their players not to be mean or to see them suffering, but so that when they get on the field, they are able to do more than they or anyone else thought was possible. Last week at the baptism of Jesus, we heard the words, "You are my child, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." We heard these words not only for Jesus, but we're reminded too that we are precious children of God. In this morning's text, the Spirit, Coach Spirit, leads Jesus into the wilderness not to be mean or cause suffering, but so that when Jesus begins living out the good news, the kingdom of heaven, he will be prepared, equipped to do more than he thought or others thought possible in God. The interpretation we are most familiar with is Jesus was thrown into the desert, and after suffering and remaining faithful, proves that he is the Son of God. And then, poof, the devil just goes away. It is an audition for Jesus. And we are told that he gets the part of Son of God. And if we, in our own wilderness that we are thrown into, remain faithful, then, poof, there goes the advocate, sin, whatever you want to place there. However, the line translated, "if you are the Son of God," does not take into the account the grammar of the verb there, which is in the indicative mood rather than the subjective mood. The result is the CEB translation, "since you are the Son of God." Since you are the Son of God, command these stones, throw yourself, worship me. This changes everything. The tempter is not trying to figure out who he is, but how does a child of God live their identity in the world? Since you are the Son of God. And I want to remind you that at this time, Caesar declared himself the Son of God. There were others in this region that declared themselves the Son of God. And the test is to reveal and define Jesus as the true Son of God, a faithful child of God, which for Matthew foreshadows the challenges in Jesus' ministries, the questions and critique not only of religious leaders, but the empire, the kingdom of Caesar, that felt most threatened by this vision of a kingdom of heaven on earth. And the test is not easy. Since you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Not just one stone or one loaf for Jesus, but plural, loaves to feed others. And Jesus quotes Deuteronomy, people won't live only by bread, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the tester takes him to the holy city at the temple to save himself, and so that Jesus can be a spectacle for others in the city to see and maybe grow his own popularity. And if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Quoting Psalm 91, the tester says, it is written that the angels will bear you up and you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus again quotes scripture, do not put your Lord God to the test. Finally, Jesus has shown every nation its power, its privilege, its treasuries. I will give it all to you if you bow down and worship me. And again, Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve only God. Notice how all three temptations are not personal in nature, like we often make them. They aren't just inner temptations, but communal as well. The temptation is pride, power, and possessions lived out in the community. Other sons of God may have been tempted by this, but Jesus reveals that he is not. His faithfulness to God keeps, upholds, and lives out a humble and just vision of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And Matthew makes this look easy for Jesus. But we know, when the rubber hits the road, that in Jesus' ministry, he has moments where he needs to be all by himself. He has to stop and rest. He needs to tell his disciples to give him some space. And there is a point where he asks God to take away the weight of his calling from him. But he can never hide who he is. And so he comes back to God, even in those challenges, trusting the Spirit that is coaching him and training him to endure even when he wants to give up. Maybe we can adapt that phrase I began this morning's message with. It doesn't get easier, but you get stronger. It doesn't get easier, but you become more faithful. More faithful to what God is doing through you and in the world. And along the journey, you begin to really trust. Really know who you are as that precious child of God, and that at each turn, it comes back to God. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and we should not brush off the fact that his moral and ethical leadership on racial and economic justice was rooted in his identity as a child of God, coming back to God when it was most challenging. It led to racial healing, not only in this country, but all over the world. It was his faithfulness to God that questioned U.S. foreign policy in Vietnam. It was his faithfulness in God that questioned capitalism and the inequality that capitalism produced. And as we can imagine, in the U.S., challenging white privilege or power, U.S. foreign policy and the economy did not and still does not make you popular. He was under surveillance by the FBI, his phones were tapped, and he and his family were in constant danger as he stepped out into his public ministry. One such episode came in 1956 in the early phases of the Montgomery bus boycott. King receives a chilling call threatening his life and the life of his newborn daughter and his wife. Listen to how King retells this moment after the phone call and what he is going through. He says this, you've got to call on that something and that person that your daddy used to tell you about, the power that can make a way out of no way. And I discovered then that religion had to become real to me, and I had to know God for myself. And I bowed down over that cup of coffee. I never will forget it. I prayed a prayer, and I prayed out loud that night. I said, Lord, I'm down here trying to do what's right. I think I'm right. I think the cause we represent is right. But Lord, I must confess that I am weak now. I am faltering. I'm losing my courage. And I can't let people see me like this, because if they see me weak and losing my courage, they will begin to get weak. And then this happened. It seemed at that moment that I could hear an inner voice saying to me, Martin Luther, stand up for righteousness. Stand up for justice. Stand up for truth. And lo, I will be with you even until the end of the world. I heard the voice of Jesus saying, still to fight on. And he promised never to leave me. There are some that say the church is not the place to talk about race or politics or sexuality or gender. The church is to avoid controversy and make others feel comfortable all the time. The result is we often are curling 5-pound dumbbells, wondering why we aren't getting stronger. And if we don't allow ourselves to be challenged, how do we expect our faithfulness to grow? How do we expect to continue to mature in our faith as children of God? How can we go deeper with the stories taught to us in our Sunday school classes that equip us and empower us to live as the child of God we are? It is tempting to say we are a child of God, but avoid the test of living it out. It is tempting to see pain, suffering, and corruption in the world and believe that God is just sad, but not active in it all. It is tempting for the church to just be a place to forget about it, instead of the one place we know God holds it with us and guides us. In this season of Epiphany, between the birth of Christ and the death of Christ, we tell the stories of the life and ministry of Jesus, God incarnate, and what God was and is up to now. The story of Jesus in the wilderness reminds us that since we are a child of God, beloved and precious, since we are a child of God, with Christ to live out the challenges of love and justice, God prepares us, empowers us, and gives us what we need to live out who we really are. So through this season, we will tell stories. And I invite you to be challenged by the news of Kenan Anderson, a D.C. teacher who died in police custody this past week. I invite you to be challenged by the devastation our living has on the environment and the steps we can take to preserve creation. I invite you to be challenged by the growing issues of housing and food insecurity in our community. I invite you to be challenged by the privilege of your white skin that society affords us but denies to those blessed with more melanin. None of it is off bounds for God, which is both a blessing and a challenge. But the good news is that it may not be easy, it may not get easier, but we will become more faithful. We will come back to God again and again in faithfulness. Amen. Amen. Amen.